Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's Podcast. This is episode 130. I'm your host, Wayne Bennett. And our guest today is an insurance agent. He's a humanitarian and an author of the Brothers Five of Forest Hill, Mr. Phil Hutchison. Welcome. Now, you didn't come into this world easy, did you? It's kind of, you had some health issues when you were born.
My mother had German measles in her first trimester. So when I was born, a mother who has German measles, their child is going to be born with a lot of congenital birth defects. And so when I was born, I was totally deaf in my left ear, and I had heart issues. I ended up having a heart operation at the age of 18 months old.
Wow.
And I had two operations. So the second operation was at age 5. And the first time, they operated me on my side. They cut me from the back through the side, and then they went into my heart that way. Now, what happened when they sewed me up? Scar tissue attached itself against my ribs. And so I have an indentation on my side. Also, I have my right eye is 20/20. My left eye is 20/200. The only thing I can read with my left eye is the big E on the chart. And that's it. And then on March the 5th, 2010, I woke up and I couldn't hear. It took them about 5 months to figure out what my problem was, and I have what's called Meniere's disease. And from 2010 to 2020, I went through a series of hearing aids, and each one got stronger, and then finally got to the point where I could not hear at all. And so the doctor that I was seeing, Dr. Benjamin Tuma in Huntington, agreed it was time for me to have a cochlear implant. And so I have my cochlear implant, and now I go once a year to have what they call mapping, and they map my hearing. And they will raise the bar on the hearing. And so I can turn up the TV to the loudest it can go, and my cochlear will only pick up a certain volume.
Wow.
She'll literally go crazy because it's too loud. She's going to put it down. So that happens. And the other problems that comes with Meniere's is vertigo attacks. And I haven't had one since the year that we had the Del Rico that came through here.
Yeah.
I had gone to my ENT, and he deadened my eardrum and gave me a shot of prednisone inside my ear. And I haven't had a vertigo attack since. The last problem is my balance. And it seems like my balance is getting worse. And that's why I have to use my cane to keep my balance.
With your issues, though, as a young person, you were very active in 4-H. And you sang in the chorus, played piano. Were you into 4-H because your dad was an extension agent primarily? And he gave a thumb signal there. I'm sure you had a tough childhood not being able to do some of the things that other kids did. Kids can be cruel sometimes. You were very active in the church. You are or have been very active in the singing choral part of church. You've actually had the voice of God at one time in one of the pageants. Is that correct? You can't go any better and higher than that.
Well, since 2010, I haven't been able to sing in the choir because I can't hear music, even with the cochlear. Some people who have the cochlear do better than I have been having. Because of the Meniere's disease, it goes in cycles. And Meniere's is an autoimmune disease. And an autoimmune disease, there is no cure. And so my hearing will probably continue to get worse. And so my cochlear will not be effective. When Sheila wants to talk to me, I have to turn the TV silent.
Yeah.
And you know the old adage about Jesus talking about being the shepherd, and that when he speaks, his sheep will follow. Well, it's the same thing with Sheila. I can recognize Sheila's voice, and so we can talk. And sometimes I have to depend on her to kind of say, "What did you say?" And that might happen during the interview.
I understand that.
People don't realize that Sheila is sitting right beside me. And she's helping with this interview.
When did you decide to write this book?
This book came as a result of me sending on Facebook. I found a cousin that lives in Georgia. My uncle Neil Hutchison had a daughter by the name Phyllis. And she married a guy. He was in the military. During the Nuremberg trial, he was a guard during the trial. In fact, he was Rudolf Hess' personal guard. And then he became a guard at the federal prison in Atlanta, Georgia. And so his name was Withrow. And so we have a bunch of cousins in Georgia with the last name Withrow. And of course, they're all, they happen to have all girls, so they all have different last names. And one of them, her daughter, got on Facebook, and I tried to connect with her, and I was trying to tell her who I was. And her mother gave the thumbs up that I could talk to her. And so it just gave me the idea of writing a book about the five brothers. The oldest one was Thomas Vaughn. He lived in Beckley. Motel 6 is where his house used to be. And then there was Oscar Neal.
Now, Thomas, did he become a banker?
Yeah, TV or Hutch Vaughn is another name. He became a banker at the Raleigh County National Bank that became United Bank. He worked for them.
And Neil was a cop.
The other one, Oscar Neal, was the cop.
Yeah. He didn't have a trigger finger.
Well, that trigger finger, what happened, he lost his trigger finger when he was cutting wood, the story goes, and he took his finger and he got on his horse and he went to the doctor and they dressed up the finger and it got to the point where he said, give me that knife. And he trimmed the dead skin off of his finger. And then they took the finger and they put it in the liquid that they preserved things.
Formaldehyde.
Yeah. And the jar was too small. And his hand was hurting all the time. And he went back to the doctor and said, would you put that finger in a bigger jar? And he did, and his pain went away. That's just one of the stories that you read about in the book. The way I did this book was I started out with the history of Forest Hill, Virginia. Much of the book talks about Greenberg County and Monroe County and Somers County. And those were the three counties that were involved in the late 1700s. For a period, Forest Hill was part of Monroe County. And then when West Virginia became a state on June the 20th, 1863, it became a part of Somers County. And then started a history about Oscar and Emma Hutchison. Interesting story about Emma. Her mother was Carolyn Allen, but her maiden name was Carolyn Hutchison.
Huh.
And there's a book that you could find by John Quincy Hutchison, Hutchison. John Quincy was a famous lawyer in the mid-20s and 30s and 40s here in Beckley, okay? And he did a complete genealogy of Hutchison family, but he called everybody Hutchinson. In fact, there's a part in here in the book that talks, is it Hutchison or Hutchinson? Hutchison. When I was doing my research at the courthouse in Greenbrier County, when I looked in to find about Oscar and Emma Hutchison, they spelled it E-N-S-O-N. And so it gets all kinds of spellings, the last name.
Another thing that you have done with the book, you went all the way back to Scotland and wrote some of the history there. You brought it over. You talked about the Native Americans, mound builders. Now, I never knew that there was a mound in Forest Hill, West Virginia. Is it still there, the mound?
You know, I do not know. Well, I tried to get my cousin Tommy Hutchison, who lives in Belle Point, to take me. There's a inverted pyramid. Instead of being above ground, it's below ground in the shape of a pyramid. And then the mounds, I don't know where they're located. I think one time Dad took me and showed me where they were, but it's been so long, don't remember where they're located.
Yeah. Now, you had one of your uncles, Jimmy, help build the Bluestone Dam. Worked for the Corps of Army Engineers. And I guess he spent most of his life working for the...
He spent his entire life working for the Corps. In fact, my dad, and Jimmy went to Concord College and got the 2-year degree when Concord was called Concord Normal School. And you could get a 2-year certificate to be able to teach school. Well, my dad was able to teach. He found some schools. But Jimmy never found a place to teach. And so he got word that they were going to start building a dam for flood control down at Hinton. There was no Belle Point at that time. In fact, Jimmy is really responsible for building up further down toward the dam, that part of the Belle Point. And he did from the beginning. He learned how to work with the company that built the concrete slabs, and they had different size slabs, and they used different size rocks. They had a quarry in Greenbrier County. And they had a railroad track that went from that quarry to the dam. And in fact, I think the railroad's still there, but the bridge that went across the river to Belle Point is no longer there. But they would bring the rock and they would empty the cars. Jimmy, one of his responsibilities was counting the size of the stones, and you know, because they were used for different purposes. Mm-hmm. And he became involved in surveying the farms along the rivers on both sides. There was a little community called Lily, they moved everybody out, and they moved the graves and transferred the graves to different areas in the county. And that's why the bridge that goes towards Athens, it's called the Lily Bridge. And the first bridge that they fell in, and somebody lost their life from the fall of the bridge.
Now, you had another uncle, Bob. He was a farmer and also dug ponds for a living, or what did he do for a living?
He did not go to college, and he was a farmer. Now, the story about how they came to Forest Hill, the family mainly lived in Roncevert, West Virginia, and that's where they lived until my grandfather, Hutchison, Oscar Cade Hutchison Sr., passed away on April the 4th.
48 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when grandfather passed away, one of the things he did was he had bought life insurance. At the point, he owned a Dodge car dealership. And so Emma sold the car dealership and cashed in the life insurance. And she went to Forest Hill, where she grew up, and she was a member of the Allen family. And so she bought a house from Charles Garten, and that house still stands today. If you come in Forest Hill, you look to your right on top of the hill, that house that she bought is still standing there. It doesn't look the same as it did back in 1924. At the end of school in Roncevert, Vaughn graduated from high school. And I believe Neil also graduated from high school. But Uncle Jimmy, he graduated from high school at Windy Gulf because Uncle Hutch, that's Thomas Vaughn, was working as a butcher at the country store at the mines. They went down there, and Charles Saunders and Uncle Jimmy went to high school, and they finished their high school at Windy Gulf. And then Dad graduated, was in the first graduating class at Forest Hill, and the high school was built on the Hutchison land. The deed that read was that when they closed Forest Hill School, the land was to go back to the Hutchison family. And it did. I taught there 1 year.
Really?
1977. I taught the third and fourth grade. And finally, I can't remember which year they closed the school, but they closed it. And the land was returned to the Hutchison family, and the land was sold. The proceeds from the sale was divided up between the five families, and each family ended up about $5,000 each.
Now, there used to be, before they consolidated all of Summers County, there was Forest Hill, Talkett, Sandstone, all those had high schools. And your grandmother, Emma, actually ran a boarding house in Athens at Concord. She had to raise five boys by herself. Of course, some of them were a little older, but she was quite a woman. Tell me, you know anything about her working at the boarding house or what in Athens?
When she was in Athens, she used the house that she was renting as a boarding house. And of course, Jimmy in OC, which is what everybody called my dad in the family. When Dad was born, they said, well, what should we name him? And somebody piped up and said, why don't we call him OC? Of course, it stood for Oscar Cade. And that's the family even today. Anytime that we talk about my dad, we call him OC. And when he enrolled at Concord College, they would not allow him to use the initials OC. So he took his dad's name, Oscar Cade Hutchison Jr., and that became his business name. even today when he was the area director of the Extension Service in the southern part of West Virginia, everybody knew him as Oscar Cade Hutchison Jr. But in family, you ask somebody about Oscar Hutchison, they may say, "You mean O.C. Hutchison?" The way it is.
I found it interesting. Your grandfather was Oscar O.C. Hutchison. Your dad was O.C. Hutchison. Your uncle was Oscar Neal Hutchison. And another thing interesting, your grandmother was a Methodist. Your grandfather was a Baptist. And they took the kids to a Presbyterian church. That's pretty good, pretty remarkable.
Well, it was kind of interesting. It was his compromise when they moved to Roncevert. I don't know if it was a Methodist church in Roncevert or a Baptist church. I know that there's a Baptist church in Roncevert because my fraternity brother married his wife at the Roncevert Baptist Church. But they compromised, and Uncle Hutch, that's what we called him, Uncle Hutch and Neil were baptized in the Presbyterian Church. And then when the family moved to Forest Hill in 1924, Emma went to the Methodist Church. Now, there's an interesting story about the churches in Forest Hill. Because Forest Hill was such a small community, you couldn't get a full-time minister to stay at the churches. So one Sunday, the Methodist preacher would come, all the people from the Baptist church would come to the Methodist church to attend church. The next Sunday, the Baptist preacher would come and all the Methodists would come to the Baptist church. Once O.C. grew up, he became like the superintendent of the church. And one year, he would buy Baptist study material. The next year, he would buy Methodist study material. And so they're still doing it today.
Wow, really?
As far as I know.
Well, you, something else that you explained in your book, some of the stories you told two or three different times in the book, but you explained that just like the Gospels in the Bible, you had different authors telling the same story, but different type or different points of view or whatever. And that I wondered about that. And, you know, because I said, well, he's already kind of told this one, you know. And then when we got to the end of the book, you explained it, why you did that. There's a quote in the foreword from your cousin, Middleburg. Mark Middleburg writes, "The Brothers Five of Forest Hill, no mere legends, and the truths we can learn from them are certainly not myths." And he says, "More than you reading this book will help ensure their lives and lessons will become neither forgotten nor lost." That's a good reason for writing the book, and I think you've accomplished that. How do I buy the book?
Well, the only way to buy the book is to order it from Amazon. You just go on to Amazon and you can either write my name, Philip M. Hutchison, or you could write it by the town, The Brothers Five of Forest Hill, West Virginia. And then it will come up. Well, in the first place, you click on magnifying glass and go to books and then type in the title of the book. And then you can order your book, how many to put into your cart. And then you go to the cart and you pay for the book either by having an Amazon account or using a credit card. And the book is just $20. One of the things that I really appreciate being having this interview is this book was dedicated to my cousin Tommy's son. His daughter died at the age of 9, and she died from what is called sudden, unexpected death in epilepsy. She had it, and she knew that she could possibly have an epilepsy attack. And the night before going to middle school, she died in her sleep.
Wow.
They established a foundation. I'm giving part of the proceeds from this book to their foundation to help them handle the programs that they what they do. Is they help the elementary schools in their area and down in North Carolina, where you can make a donation to them. And I can check on my Google KDP. It's Kindle Direct Publishing. Anybody can publish a book, but it's not quite as easy as you think.
Uh-huh.
And I could go to my bookshelf and I can check. It tells me how many, I've sold 4 books this month. And I'm hoping that people who listen to this podcast will kind of pique their interest to find out. There are some funny stories.
Do you have any other plans to write another book?
I have thought about it. I had been thinking about writing a book about faith, my life's journey. And it's just like interesting stories about how I met Sheila. The normal way of meeting a person. She was introduced to me by a friend at my church. And it just was interesting on how we met.
I knew your brother, John. He and I went to school together. And you mentioned in the book Bel Air Chevrolet that your dad had in the late 50s, I think. And I was just wondering if John drove that car to school, because he used to drive a Bel Air.
Yeah, I believe John did drive that car to school.
I think it was the same.
We kept that car for a long time.
Well, that was
then
it.
I remember we had a black Impala about that time. He may have driven that car too. I drove a car that was made in Canada. The factory burned down and they quit making the car. I can't remember what the name of the car was, but now you were in the first graduation class at Woodrow.
Yes.
At 1968.
Yes.
Okay.
That was an experience. Phil, I appreciate you coming and talking to us, and like to get you back sometime, and we'll maybe when you get that other book out, we'll talk some. But I do appreciate you coming and speaking with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And anybody else out there that would like to be on our program, you can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com. And until next time, remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. This is Wayne Bennett, and God bless you.
Such feelings coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find.